Welcome to the Shared Desk, episode 40.
Forty.
Two shows in a row. You know, what do you say to that?
So we're good, right?
No, we're not. We're still going to keep going. We still got to keep going. Hey, everybody. It is time for the Shared Desk. A phlegmatic production.
You okay so, over there?
Yeah.
Nobody's drinking, nobody's gambling, nobody's chasing tail. I have to deal with that.
No, I'm not okay. But
we're podcasting, so we can't chase tail.
Exactly. I'm T. Morris.
She's got a tongue like an electric eel, and she likes the taste of a man's tonsils.
It's she in the masculine sort of way. Okay. And over here?
I'm Philippa Valentine.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I will never get tired of that. Of that.
It's creepy and lovely.
It's creepy and lovely all at the same time.
So we have a special episode.
Special episode because we're not in it.
Yeah, welcome to the Shared Desk. This is as much as you hear from us.
Yeah, pretty much. You got the intro, you got the outro, and that's it. We have a special Shared Desk that was recorded after you left the Smoky Writers Retreat of 2015.
Fleeing the snow and ice and the
Did
frost
it ever
giants.
Come that second go-round?
No, but it would have if I'd stayed there.
That's true. Knowing how things go.
So should we give a little intro to the Smoky Writers?
Why don't you give the intro because you were there. I was not.
You were working. So the Smoky Writers Retreat, I guess you'd call it, is in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. It was organized and handled and wrangled by the luscious Alex White.
Oh my, the luscious.
Well, look,
the
I don't
luscious
feel,
Alex White.
I don't think that women should have like a circle around luscious. I think men can be luscious too.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and you know, and to get into the Smoky Mountain Writers, you have to get past Alex, and Alex. He's very tough on who goes and who doesn't.
Welcome to level 7.
He is.
Sorry, that corner was really dark and I couldn't help myself. I think there's a bulb out.
Yeah.
Hey, if there was a bulb, Alex would sort it out.
Yeah. He'd be calling up those vendors on Yelp saying,
"You shall not pass!"
With his staff and his keyboard.
Alex is a very calm, mellow sort of dude, but then
man, you cross him.
You don't cross him. Yeah,
you cross him. You got.
I can see your soul in the edges of your eyes. It's corrosive, like acid. You got a demon, little man.
Yeah, that's Alex White in that show. I'm getting all my drop-ins now because
yes, you're not getting any.
I'm not getting any in the show.
So after I left, PC Herring had his recording equipment with him, and he recorded some of the thoughts and
basically he did
love that they have for Smoky Writers.
He did a wrap-up show similar to the wrap-up show that we did last year, the first time for the I keep wanting to say social media writers, but it was the Smoky Mountain Writers. And
yes.
And unfortunately, I was not there on account of the new job. You were not there because you didn't want to get snowed in.
Fleeing.
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
Winter was coming. No, winter came while you were on the way there. I was following along in ways.
I was waiting for the White Walkers to come.
Yeah, no kidding.
Know?
I
so,
bet you were.
Yeah, me and Katie.
Problem was they were snowed in. They couldn't get to you guys. So why don't we go ahead and just segue into this. The Smoky Mountain Writers of 2015 chiming in for the Shared Desk. Do we want to play them some Segway music?
Nah.
Oh, come on. They deserve it. So
play them some damn Segway music then.
We can do it.
Not actually tipsy yet.
Well, and on that note, we are live with a hijacked version of the Shared Desk.
Hi, Pip and T.
I am PC Herring. Hi, Pip and T. And I'm joined by
Lauren Scribe Harris.
Foo!
And Starla Etchton.
And for all of you listeners saying, who the hell are you people and where's Pip and T? They had to leave early due to weather and crazy road conditions. So we're kind of hijacking the tubes for a couple of minutes to talk about Smokey Riders 2015.
I think this requires an evil laugh.
We may never return the podcast.
Never.
Hey, at least we're doing one.
Yes.
So.
Slackers.
Burn.
So where do we want to start? Should we talk about the cabin or the food or the writing or
food?
Well, it's the shared desk, so we should start with. Didn't we start with like the actual
writing stuff
desk
and then descend into the food?
Then we
but you know what? This is our podcast now. We can do whatever we want.
Well, the food was amazing.
Food was amazing, yes.
And there was so much of it.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, one of the things I heard from the last year's people, and Scribe, you're here from last year. Starla, you're...
No.
Starla. Blah, 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 I had to drink. Foo, Starla, and I are new this year. But one of the things that caught me in last year's write-up, which I think is consistent from this year, was a lot of people were saying, oh, I don't usually like X, but this was awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
I tried all the things this year.
All the things.
I did not like all of the things, but I liked most of the things.
Well, there were a couple things that were on the menu that I wasn't expecting to like that I did. Renee White, oh my God, did something. Yeah. We had steaks that one night.
She's a cabbage wizard.
And
I don't
she
like cabbage.
Did.
Yeah.
She did a Brussels sprout thing.
Yeah, I don't like Brussels sprouts either, and I ate those.
And I ate those.
Yeah, we were the non-Brussels sprouts.
You were like, the three of us were.
You put bacon on it, and generally, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Well, I love Brussels sprouts, so I was not surprised to like those. But there are some things I don't typically eat, and I
Here,
ate them.
It's,
Like beets. We had beets tonight.
We had beets tonight.
And I'm not
just
typically a fan of beets because I think they taste like dirt, but they did not taste like dirt tonight.
No, they taste really good.
They tasted like gold.
And it was really varied, so I came from the West Coast and I was like, oh God, I'm going to a place where they will only serve me waffles and
chicken and waffles.
Biscuits.
Biscuits, barbecue.
But no, it was there was a Thai.
We had Thai, we had
Japanese. We had
Japanese,
yeah. It was great.
All the foods.
All the food.
My favorite, though, has got to be the chicken and broccoli crepes.
Yeah,
and
the
butternut squash salad. Yeah, and the butternut squash salad with the cranberries and pecans and the apple vinaigrette, and it was freaking amazing.
I'm still a big fan of the Reubens and butternut squash soup.
The Reuben was good. I tried the butternut squash soup. It was good, but I just don't like the texture of squash, and it just didn't do it for me.
Squash.
But it was still very well done. Foo, what about you?
I really liked the scramble for it day, because so we had one day where we just like got to eat all the leftovers.
Yeah, we had an off day about middle of the week. That's right.
And
yeah.
I had like a biscuit and gravy on top of like leftover spinach and tomato, and then a little quarter of a Reuben sandwich, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
For me, I'd say it had to have been the cabbage pancakes that we did.
Oh, those were
this,
so
the
okonomiyaki.
Yeah, thank you.
That was magical because I don't like cabbage.
Exactly.
And those were really good.
And I thought it was going to be the steak and the and the cheddar orzo.
That chicken we had the first night though with the mustard. Oh my God.
So basically, the food remains delicious this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you envied the food last year.
Oh, and the cake tonight.
Please envy the food this year. And we just finished eating the epic cake of epic
it
awesome.
It was so good.
And we are joined. Come join us.
Yay!
By Hugh O'Donnell.
Come join us,
Hugh. The Way of the Buffalo podcast.
Hello.
We are talking about food and going dishing
our
on
favorites.
Our favorite meals.
Yes.
What was your favorite meal?
Ben Mike's Day were really good.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah.
They really hit the spot.
It's hard to think back on how,
on
know,
all
like how
the
many
food
days
we
were,
have consumed
we had
over
what?
The past 9 days.
Five.
Three meals a day, 9 days.
Yeah.
We had like 25 meals between.
Yeah. So I didn't eat a lot of the breakfasts.
Yeah, you missed
someone slept in. Starla.
Was in the Batcave, leave me alone.
Yeah.
They did like an eggy in a bowl thing.
That
was
good,
really good.
I had
that
for lunch today.
Yesterday. Something.
Yeah. But those were good.
Yeah.
But speaking of being in the Batcave and being diligent, shall we shift over to talking about the actual
Oh my Lord. Okay, so let me frame this thing. Once you get up the hill of death, and I'm being kind, hey, here's one of our cooks.
Yay!
Renee White has entered the building.
I was was trying to be sneaky and going on through.
Too late. No, you're live. No,
we just finished talking about our favorite
meals. We just talked
meals.
About how brilliant you are.
Yeah. Aw, thank you.
And how many different meals we loved. And
how we can't track all the meals because there's can't remember so epic, everything. Epic goodness.
Because you cooked like 27
yeah,
meals.
Yeah, we cooked like 26, 27 meals.
Is it?
9 days minus the lunch. Yeah, 20.
Eight days.
Because
we didn't, there was no dinner the first day, was there?
Yeah, there was dinner the first night.
There was dinner.
Oh, yeah, the chicken. Right.
So, yeah, oh, I missed the chicken because I wasn't here because we got snowed
yeah,
out.
Yeah, so many people got snowed.
Yeah,
the
it was a little,
day, so.
Up, this year was a little strange because
weather
interfered and so people arrived late and then people sort of had to start leaving early. Yeah.
Well, we had one person had to leave early due to a death in the family. And then another person had to leave because of an early
flight. To prevent deaths in the family.
And another person had to leave for flights. And three other people had to leave
because
to prevent
ice.
Deaths in the family.
Yeah.
Because of ice. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Or pending ice. Mm-hmm.
But so. What was your favorite meal?
I think...
And don't say you loved them all.
No, because I didn't.
Pick which child you like more, Renee.
Pick your favorite child.
I think the prosciutto fig balsamic pizza was my
that
favorite.
Was good. That was good. That was what, Sunday night's dinner? Mm-hmm.
No, that was
lunch.
Sunday lunch.
Sunday lunch, you're right.
I was coming
here.
Down hardcore on the lunches. Like, the lunches, uh-huh. I remember
yeah.
a lot of the lunches.
Lunches
the Reuben.
A lot of the lunches are my favorite.
Yeah.
The Cubans I liked a
oh,
lot.
Oh, the Cubans.
I will dream wow. about those crepes forever.
I was just saying, I was expecting that the steak was going to be my highlight, but it was that, say it again.
Okonomiyaki.
Yeah, that.
Did you have the pork or the vegetarian?
I had the pork.
Yeah.
I don't do vegetarian.
You missed out. It's a whole different thing.
I love
no, I know,
the
but I know, but we also did that on Friday, and given the season, I know that there were a few more people who were more concerned about having meat on Friday than I was, so I saved the vegetarian for them.
I wasn't that conscientious.
Yes, I accidentally gave some to the girl who's allergic to soy.
So. But there were no visits to the ER, no yeah. EpiPens needed, nobody.
We gave her Benadryl immediately. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yay, you're not doing meat for Lent. Here, have this thing. Totally forgetting that
soy
tofu
allergy.
Is made of soy.
Yep.
Yep, my bad.
Oopsie. But when you have to cater for, what was it, 19 people?
18,
yeah.
18,
yeah. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of food stuff to take into account.
I think next year deadly allergies are it. Like, you don't have to consider anything else.
Yeah.
We may
need to
it,
help
like,
you out with that. I mean, everyone's going to have food preferences and things that they won't eat or that they will eat or that mm-hmm. they can't eat. But I think deadly food allergies
and it's not
biological
like anybody ever
stopped. Need to be there.
Yeah, because like if there was something like if there was a meal where you didn't really want that. I mean, there were tons of leftovers you could have gone.
Yeah,
for,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The hardest part was Katie's lactose intolerance.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about it when I was making the menu.
Yeah.
So I kept like trying to do alternatives, and I tried to make a cheese sauce for the crepes that was a total disaster. It was so disgusting.
And doesn't the batter already have? Milk in it, or
well,
do you
if
do
it's
egg?
Cooked, it doesn't bother her that much. Like she can handle a little bit and yogurt and stuff. And if it's cooked, it's usually not a big deal. But with the cheese sauce, it was all cheese, all heavy cream.
Yeah.
So I try to do lactose free milk and a lactose free cheese. It ended up looking like nacho cheese.
Ew. Yeah.
And I tried it, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is disgusting. And her being the wonderful Canadian she is, I was like, you can try it. I don't like it, but if you want it. So she took a bite and she was like, thank you so much for the effort, but I can do without any sauce today.
Just hand her the sriracha.
Yes.
Yeah.
What she can't do with dairy, she can make up for in sriracha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine just the logistics of...
I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
I really am.
You guys should have seen our grocery list.
I want you guys to
consider what the food payment
I can
was.
I show you. It's in the spiral.
The accountant in me took the food payment and multiplied it out by the number of people who showed up. You did an amazing job on that budget.
Yeah.
And
incredible.
Coming under. We all got little coffee cup souvenirs stuff from the kitchen. From our two marvelous cooks.
I think we should have sunk that into the alcohol budget, though.
We did manage to drink
an epic amount of alcohol.
Yeah, we did.
It's a bunch of writers.
Yeah.
I killed two bottles and threw them in the trash myself. That was vodka, so.
I was not the only one drinking those bottles of vodka, but I was the one that finished them. I did kill an entire bottle of wine by myself the first day.
We also ran a little
except
short
for one glass that I gave to Abby.
Juice about halfway through, because juice started turning into mixers.
Yeah, that was my
because
problem.
There was no more soda. And...
Right.
Yeah. See, we were planning, like, we basically, I was trying to plan based on our experience last year,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't really take into account that all the new people this year are completely different from the people who were here last year. Like, last year, like, two people drank coffee. This year, like, we had three pots going every morning. Yeah.
And you still had some people that don't drink coffee.
There's an entire drawer of tea upstairs.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The tea is the same.
Yes.
Oh, the drawer's still full. We have to remember.
We have to remember to empty the drawer.
Empty the drawer.
And not... was on it.
Okay, good.
Oh, okay.
Phew. Yeah.
But yeah, next year we're going to have just, like, a whole bunch of mixers. I'm just going to... get all the juices and all the things.
This is breakfast juices. This is mixer juices.
Yeah, we've already started making our list of things we have to have next year. Nice. That, you know, like toilet paper. We learned. You know, yes. We need toilet paper.
Or toilet buckets, as it turned out. And on that note,
I feel like you guys go into that. Okay. One.
No, you don't. You want to sit in and talk about the cabin?
Well, I was going
to
get my laundry. I was hoping to do her laundry.
Oh.
I just want to dry my bathing suit.
So, the cabin this year. It's very well placed.
Yeah, you walk in and it's like, it's impressive. This is amazing. And then
it's a three story with a basement, which is where we're recording in the movie theater basement as it is right now. Yes, this thing has a movie theater in it, and
that sometimes works.
But that's the problem.
Hill getting up here really requires a 4x4. I don't care what they say. The fact that we got a Chevy Volt up here was a minor miracle on its own.
Everybody had to get out and walk.
I drove the Volt up that hill. I had to kick out Pip and Katie in order to get the damn car up that hill.
Yeah. The mountains of like North Carolina and Virginia and Tennessee and to some extent Kentucky are not huge mountains, but they are the largest on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So
they're cute little baby mountains.
They're fun to watch. They're fun to look at once you're up here. Yeah. Getting up here, not so much.
Yeah.
I'm
when
really not looking
and,
forward to
and
going down.
Low gear, ride the brake.
Everybody seems to have made it so far.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But
just second year.
I'm not 100% positive that I'm going to die, but there's that chance.
It's okay, Starla.
We were out and about, and Brian and I were scoping the cars, and we were like, we pegged your car as probably the most secure for getting up the hill. I don't know about getting down.
What are you driving this
in? It's sort of it's a Mazda 5.
We were like, that
sort of minivan
some kind of engine,
okay.
But not, yeah.
So heavier than your typical four-door.
Nobody had to get out.
We had an epic amount of luggage as well.
Yeah, we had a good amount of luggage. We had three people in the car, and nobody had to get out and walk. But you still smelled the burning rubber.
Yeah, we got to the top and was like, is your belt okay?
Yeah, we had to check the electric engine in the Volt just to make sure.
It might have been the tires, if I'm being completely frank. I think it was the tires.
It was probably the tires. We had the same problem getting up.
Yeah.
So the cabin.
Oh, dear.
Who wants to start?
Well, I will say that I expected there to be no power because I was like, cabin in the woods, ice storm. I was like, we're just going to let this. So I was like, okay. So anything that happened that went wrong after that, I was sort of like,
at least we have power.
We did arrive to find the infamous hot tubs, which are, you know, part of the draw.
They are part of the lore. I mean, we're only 2 years into this, and already they're part of the lore of Smokey Riders.
Exactly. Yes. And one of them was frozen solid, and the other one was freezing cold. So that started us off.
That started us off.
And there was no manual. There was a manual at the place last year that taught us how to turn the thing on. And this, I had to look one up online, still couldn't get it to turn on, because I think they had to come fix it.
The maintenance guy came.
But
we've become good friends with that maintenance.
Tried to take my space heater.
We've had kind of a love-hate relationship with this cabin, because I think I speak for everybody who's both here and not here when I say that as a whole the cabin's been great.
Yeah,
some of the attention to detail and maintenance and repair really kind of sucked.
Can we talk about the ice slab floors in the bathroom?
Yes, let's talk about the ice slab floors in the bathroom.
I should not have to wear shoes.
To get into your shower?
Yeah, well, when I get up at night, like if I have to pee.
Oh my god.
I should not have to put on shoes. It's like having an outhouse.
The stone floor bathrooms.
I stuck to the floor with my foot when I got out of the shower.
It's like if you would stick your tongue to that, like you would not.
No. The bathroom's in the basement where we have two bunk rooms and two
king
bedrooms.
Yeah.
Housing a total of 3, 6, 8, 9, 10 of us, give or take.
Yeah.
Our stone floors. They're gorgeous, but they're cold as hell.
Stone tile.
Yeah, stone
they're
tile.
Right on the slab, too. There's
yeah,
no
there's no insulation.
Either.
But I think that's the problem, is that the whole cabin is not built for off-season. It's built exclusively for warmer
for
times of the year. And
but
so,
if
like,
they're
going
to rent it during those parts of the year.
Exactly. There's no excuse, but really every problem we had was just the cabin. Just
well, except for the leaks and the toilets that didn't
and
flush.
The dishwasher.
Yeah,
the first night
we got here, the window on the first floor was leaking. One of the toilets was leaking.
But I wouldn't be surprised if that's all, like, ice-related.
Well, one of the toilets in one of the bedrooms is not mounted properly and had to be flushed using a bucket because you couldn't run the water through.
Also,
the
in the bedroom in the top floor, in the bathroom, there are an epic amount of dead ladybugs just in the lights.
I was using that bathroom, and I heard a buzzing like it was a fly getting stuck somewhere.
This happens to my house this time of year, too.
Well, they come in because it's warmer.
We have one bedroom where the ladybugs come to die.
Mm-hmm. But,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's also small.
Elephant like, graveyard. It's the ladybug graveyard.
But it was also the small things. We had three dishwashers in the in this place, and not one of them had a full set of wheels on the lower rack. So
yeah, the one in the kitchen, it's not bolted in there.
The second one in the kitchen is not bolted, so when you pull the racks out, the whole thing tips on out in front of you. Yeah.
So funny. And like, just, yeah, everything. It's nothing worked
The
properly.
Thing is, if we had
none
only...
fireplaces worked.
None of the fireplaces worked.
Yeah, one of them shocked somebody, too.
One of the doors in the bathroom, in the boys' bathroom, quote-unquote, down here is so jammed
it's
up.
It's stuck, yeah.
It will not move.
You can't close the bathroom door in the upstairs.
No, you can't
bedroom.
In any of them.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
do any of them.
Yeah. So
the towel just, bar in this one is coming off. Like, if you
yeah.
pull
so,
on
I mean,
it.
So, and it's just not, like, I mean, we're writers. We're not frat boys
like, I'm not a fussy
sisters.
Person, but
yeah.
Some of the stuff I'm like,
well, and the thing is, it's not, none of these things kept us from having a great time
and having great
productivity.
It was
so,
awesome.
Really, most of these things are just
creature comforts.
Are creature comforts. Little things that make it, that change the efficiency of certain processes, like washing dishes.
Jokes.
And
oh, yeah.
And they,
and
they do.
It affected our fearless leader, too, because
yeah.
he had to.
Yes.
Okay. Alex busted
Alex
his
spent
butt.
More
he
time
was on the phone all the time.
On the phone. Getting
finagling plows and
then I think
salt
he spent
trucks.
Writing.
Oh, that was the worst part, was that we got stranded up here and nobody wanted to do anything about trying to get us out.
Yeah.
And then we had the death in the family and one of us had to leave.
And he was stuck for about an hour or so.
And we were just, and they kept passing the buck between the rental agency and
the
owner
agency,
of the cabin
yeah,
and
just,
the road people. It was just like,
they're legally required to come and plow us out up here. You know, they can't. Yeah.
And they just Let's sort of talk about us. The car.
Well,
oh, the overturned car.
Oh, wow.
I missed this one. You guys had fun.
So the first night, as we're getting here, you know, Abby posts on the thing that, you know, hey, somebody take a picture of the car at the bottom of the hill. And we're like,
what
are you talking about?
Yeah.
So when Brian and Lauren and I roll up. Like, it's dark already. It's like 7:30.
Well, Abby
and
says,
it's raining.
Abby yes. says there's a crashed car, and we're kind of going, psh, eh. It probably just
not,
kind of slid off the road and someone didn't
just
want it.
This is not just a crashed
no.
car.
No, we got
this
up there and we were like...
This car looks like it is a reject from, like, Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah!
it has flown off of some ridge, has landed on its hood, and is sitting at, like, a 45-degree angle
uh-huh.
on the road.
And it's like
somebody,
black.
Somebody died in this accident.
Yes,
and this is on the road in the resort, mind you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not outside. It's not outside. It's in the resort. On the way up to our cabin, and it's
well,
like you're driving up, and you're going, "We're gonna die soon."
We're not gonna make it. There's proof. It's like the rocks and. In Labyrinth, they're just false alarms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
that's pretty convincing.
I think there was one creature comfort that did really affect our process as writers, and that would be the internet.
Oh,
and the
God.
I lost so many hours because
Starla,
I did not
begin.
Oh, God. Yeah, the first day of writing, I spent all morning, and it took until 2 o'clock for me to find a way to access Dropbox because my computer just simply wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I ended up having to tether my phone to my computer and using my cellular connection to get my files so that I could actually write this week.
The internet...
It was a mess.
For me, the internet was a problem, not necessarily for writing, but I couldn't view any of my school videos.
Ooh.
So I'm in classes right now. I'm taking a full load of classes. Most of them are online, and I have video lectures for 2 of those classes, and I haven't been able to watch them.
Oh, no.
So I have a lot of catching up to do Sunday night and next week.
Yeah. You know, for me, it wasn't as much of a problem because I don't keep a lot of my research on the internet. I pull most of it offline. So it was mostly the lack of distraction. The thing that I did enjoy was the fact that Facebook was still operational around here, so we were able to throw things around inside the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
But
It wasn't on my.
I got it on my desktop sporadically, mm-hmm. but it was just one of those things that when I wanted to pop off and check the news, you know, what's happening in the outside world as we're snowed in here.
People arguing about a color of a dress.
Yeah,
that was what was happening. We're not getting into that one. It was very difficult to even access simple news search systems like Google News. I mean, I'm not even trying to get onto a news site. I'm just trying to see what's in the headlines.
At the same time, I don't necessarily think that was a drawback for productivity.
Agreed, unless you're trying to research.
I loved it.
But research, though, I tend to, like, I'll go research something I don't need to research to continue writing that scene.
True.
And sometimes what I do when I'm, you know, really in the mood to write and to just continue finishing that scene is, like, I'll put TK and then research blah, blah, blah in there. And, but I've gotten out of the habit of doing that. Mm-hmm. And this really just kind of put me back in that habit because, you know, researching that one little thing would take forever, so.
Hugh, what about you? You're awfully quiet back there.
How did you feel about the internet, or lack thereof?
It was probably good that I didn't have it, but I like to listen to Pandora when I work, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of curated, like, instrumental music stations.
Yeah.
And nope.
Yeah. And nope.
That was just not going to happen.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. I actually really enjoy. I would even, like to...
Turn it off at home.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. it actually made me think about, like, if I do other retreats like this, mm-hmm. just doing it without any possibility of internet at all.
Knowing that ahead of time would be good, course, because then you can prepare for it.
And then you don't get caught in Starless Trap. Yeah, because
I would have synced all my documents beforehand and said, uh-huh. there's Wi-Fi at the cabinet. I should be able to get my my Dropbox mm-hmm. Scrivener files. No problem.
Not so much.
Nope.
It was good. It was also good for me because I travel a lot already and I'm always in hotels and you're never sure about the Wi-Fi in a hotel, right? Mm-hmm. So it was. I recently invested in an iPad, so kind of having that and figuring out that puts me in complete dependence on Wi-Fi and maybe it's not the best tool for me to travel with was very... So for me, it was also sort of an educational triage situation of being like, okay... This I need, this I don't need. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it because I am totally one of those writers who will be like, I'll just jump onto email. And mm-hmm. then suddenly it's an hour later.
Well,
and
you kind
I'm
of
pissed off.
You start to learn how many times you actually, when you stop to think, your immediate response your instinct is rather than stopping and actually thinking about it, is I'm going to stop to think. So while I think, I'm going to check Facebook Tumblr and Twitter.
Yes.
And all
the social medias.
And you're not even thinking about it. It's like a reaction. It's like a conditioning thing. Your mouse just goes there.
Yeah. It's like being an alcoholic in this crazy way. Like, I don't realize how much
PC
internet
and I'm
I drink.
An internetaholic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hi, PC.
See, my big thing is that I use Facebook chat. And I didn't have this problem because I had my phone, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a problem on my laptop getting Facebook.
No.
But I use Facebook chat and I'll be talking with my editor, my other author friends, you know, people that are reading my stuff. And, you know, if I have a thing or it's like, oh, I'm stuck in this plot point. What do I, you know, what do you think of this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I use it as a,
like a brainstorming
like a sounding
board.
Yeah. It's my creative sounding boards. And I didn't, so I was glad that I could access that because there were a few times.
Well, this brings us to the shared desk part of the component. So, mm-hmm. Scribe and Hugh and I mostly
literally
shared
a
desk the whole time, and we seem to have a kind of similar working style anyway. So we're both mm-hmm. we're all pretty quiet, and you guys like you know shut down and go into your zone with your earphones on and everything.
For those of you watching this audio podcast, Fu is making the earphones.
I can't
gesture.
Remember the name because I always wear buds, so I can't remember.
And in the meantime, Brian Lincoln has also joined us. Say hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
So we were, but it was really nice because occasionally we would, in fact, look up and be like, I'd be like, ah, how do you spell something? You know,
or what's the word for?
Yeah. Or we'd have a little debate over something.
Or what's the part of the dress where?
Yes.
Or for those of us who weren't sitting at that shared desk and were sitting on the shared couch. And all of a sudden you hear three people behind you erupt into raucous laughter. Like, what is going on back there?
That did happen a couple of times.
Like, what?
One time it was me and Hugh. One time Fu just erupted into laughter on her own.
I made myself laugh with my own book, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah. And it was legitimately funny when she explained it to us.
And then I had to explain to them like the whole scenario, and then we were all laughing, probably because I was laughing so hard.
I was more laughing at you.
Yeah.
But because it was adorable.
Damn idiot.
But,
yeah.
But great. I know that feel of making yourself laugh and then being like, that's probably not funny to anybody else, but I think it's funny, so it's staying in.
But that's part of the interesting thing about the sort of share desk scenario for me is that the three of us kind of, well, Hugh moved around a little bit, but you and I definitely sort of settled up. We're like, we claimed this table for France.
We stuck a flag in it.
We stuck a flag in
it. We liked it. We were going to put a ring on it.
I have a tiny charging cord, so I had to be closer to a plug.
So you would migrate down to the little desk and
desk on the second floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, but everyone else sort of milled around and couched from one to another.
Steven and Alex stayed in place.
They stayed, they
picked their spots and they didn't.
Oh, that's right.
Christine
stayed
in place.
Starla stayed in her bat cave.
Yeah. But for me, what it was, it was a couple of things. And Brian, I think you kind of moved around a little bit too with some of your writing.
Yeah, I mostly was in one spot, but I moved just.
But for me, it was both an issue of finding some place where I can be physically comfortable, and in a weird way, wanting to be in the presence of different people.
Yeah,
I mean, it's 8 hours a day of mostly silent writing. I mean, people are up and about, moving, going upstairs to get tea or refreshing the water, doing whatever they're doing. But there's not a lot of chatter. There's not a lot of this and that. And it was nice to be able to be in the presence of different people. Uh-huh. On a day-to-day. I ended up settling in the upstairs because it was actually one of the warmer places in the cabin.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I was, and just kind of constantly moving around and finding that right.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun, though. I mean, it's fun to sort of be around other writers being industrious and kind of see the way they write and the way they type and how they think and pause and all that.
Well, and then
and
we
Fu types like a mad woman. Like, I can't think.
I can hear,
I can't think as fast as she types. Like, I was like, how can you form sentences that quickly and just keep going?
I don't stop. So, like, if you look at what I've written immediately after having written it, it is pretty much one solid red line. Like, it is almost, like, it is.
Wow.
And I will go back and reread it.
And then spell check.
You're never like, what did I even mean?
There'll be at least one or two sentences every single time where I'm like, I have no idea. I just wrote it. No idea what I'm talking about. Because if I'm really on a roll, I can vomit out 3,000 words and then go back to start the check over before breakfast and before lunch, and then I'll go back and do a recheck before I start the afternoon, and I'll just be like, what am I talking about?
so kind of taking the shared desk aspect and not just creating at the same table as another person or another couple of people. And I'm going to throw this out to obviously everybody who's here, including you, Brian, who stepped in and been very quiet. things that we've done that we did that I know was done last year was we had the group reads.
Now last year the group reads were done all as one big group because we had about 10 people total, including the chefs.
This year it was a long couple hours too. It took us about an hour and a half, two hours
to do the readings.
Okay, so Hugh, Brian, and Scribe, you were all here last year.
Yes.
Hugh,
right.
Okay.
This year we had 20 people before the chefs.
19
before the chefs.
Is it with the chefs? Or
19 and two chefs. So 19 21 plus two total. Chefs.
So Alex devised a way to split us out into groups. We drew cards, and you grouped out by suit and had numbers.
And there were
there were three to four people per group, depending on the rounding.
Jack to ace.
Ace. And everybody had about 10 to 15 minutes to read. And it was very explicit that it was not a critique session, that critique should neither be offered nor requested. At least at that point. I know Scribe, you picked up a group with, what was it, you,
Well, it was
Abby,
it was just
Katie.
Saying that during those...
Right, during that read. But
during
later on,
those readings, you were not to critique.
Right, but people. Later on during the night...
But you were welcome to break off and do little critiques separately from that.
So I want to ask you guys, what did you think of that new format, and how did having to write or read by the rules, a rough draft, non-edited rough draft... to a group of other people without receiving any feedback. How was that for you guys? Because I got to be honest with you, it was a different experience for me.
It was nerve-wracking.
I think it was interesting because the first day, I didn't even think about it. I was just thinking about writing. And then, but as you kind of get a little farther along, I started noticing myself writing things, knowing that other people would be reading them, like, now, and doing a little bit more explaining for the people that would not have understood the world. And then I caught myself doing that, and I stopped. Yeah. But
and that was one of the other tricks, is for people who weren't in your group 2 days ago, and they missed the first chapter, which you're now reading the second chapter of. There was a lot more backing and forthing, but
I think there's a part of me that realized that although that almost it's like the reason we do it is because we have to sort of prove we did something, right? I think that's the theory behind it.
Accountability.
But I think the reading itself for me felt more like it was for me. Like it was for me to kind of see if my tone was good and kind of read it out loud. And so I eventually stopped explaining what was going on because I was like halfway through a book that's like the 8th one series or something.
I mean,
so
you do get feedback. You get feedback in the way people react to it.
Yeah,
you get feedback if they laugh at the right times. Oh,
yeah.
I got a lot of laughter today that I was surprised because I wasn't sure if the scene that I had written if other people would find it funny. And so,
but
so
it
that
depends
was, that
on
was,
the group.
Yeah.
I mean, like, some people are more laughy people.
Yeah.
Like, right. I know if I'm going to read describe that she's probably going to chartle
and crack
all
up.
The good
oh,
parts.
I was chortling at some of your stuff today. Bottoms. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Brian, what about you? I mean, you presented a different format of writing for all of us.
Yeah, I managed to get...
You managed to get us to do your reading for you. That's what you managed to do.
That's what he does for a living.
Yes.
I managed to get 95 pages of script, which is... Wow. Could have been more, but I mean...
So Brian writes audio dramas, everybody.
Yeah, and so during my sessions, I had to have people voice act for it, which is tough, because...
Well, it's still fun.
Because it's hard to give all the context without taking a bunch of time.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be parts that are like super emotional scenes and people are just like...
We are bored.
So they don't really... Or the sense of pacing. But that's not really important because there's a whole system of recording
and producing.
And you can
get where
there.
There's alliteration issues or people are stumbling over a sentence that reads fine but suddenly doesn't sound...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's more to just get a sense of the pacing, even if it isn't the real pacing, just get a sense of it's too wordy, there should be more action or something.
And it was
like
fun for us. I mean, it's fun to...
What about you, Hugh?
I like this kind of critique because it kept... Or reading because it keeps people from critiquing, but I can still see where I was writing something that's pretty funny and pretty serious at different parts, and I could see where what was landing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, and for me, it was that moment of awkwardness, and this is for me personally... is for the first couple of days I had to fight my instinct to say
something
to offer something feedback. I mean we're all here because we are
writers.
Mature writers.
Yeah, and
we all are here because we can be constructive in our criticism. But so it wasn't like I was going to you know scribe, "Oh, that was terrible, you know, cut this, cut that." But I still wanted to say, "Oh, you know, I liked it, but I wish you would have, you know, combine some of these sentences so it wasn't as choppy or whatever,"
mm-hmm.
or whatever it happened to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was biting my tongue more often than not
in the first couple
of days.
What I found was happening, especially more towards the end, like when people would finish the readings and then maybe for like a minute or two after they were done, there was a little bit of discussion, but it was never like critique.
It wasn't
stuff.
Critical.
It was discussing, you know, "Oh, so what's going on in the story?" It's like, "Yeah, this
next?
Is what I'm going to do later."
And
we
had,
stuff
like
stuff.
That happen last year as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of nice.
And that's cool because it's not necessarily, it's not critiquing, but it's feedback and discussion revolving around the pieces. And that is, I mean, that's helpful for us knowing what, and having people just to kind of springboard those future ideas off of.
And it's certainly true that outside of the critique session, like at dinner and stuff like that, we were talking about our work
about
and
our writing.
Bouncing ideas off
mm-hmm.
of each other. And, you know, we covered, like, a whole range of topics from marketing.
We even watched a New Zealand mockumentary.
We did. Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
But no,
parts of a musical were written.
Yes, musicals were written.
So what do you guys think are, like, some reasons writers who are super solitary might seek out this kind of experience? Like, what is it that makes us want to do this?
Well, as coming from the person that spent all of the
writing
time in the Batcave, in the bunk and with the space heater and nobody else around, I really enjoyed, like, for me, this sort of thing provided a kind of structure. So, like, you know when your meals are going to be, and people will expect to see you there except breakfast and don't expect
and you
breakfast.
Know you don't have to take care of preparing the meals, too.
Right. But also, because writing, I'm a very solitary writer. Like, when there's other people around, I'm just distracted and I can't focus. So, yeah, Batcave. But when you get to, like, your stopping points or whatever, you know, you can take that breath of fresh air and be like, okay, there's people here, and it sort of keeps you human a little bit. But I also found the discussion, like at meals or, you know, after the writing was finished for the day, the discussion that was happening between the different authors.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned so much just from these other people, like from Fu and from Alex and Stephen helped me with plot stuff. And
it's like the best part of a convention where you're hanging out with your fellow writers and you really get to talk your water cooler shop moment.
Yeah, without all the bullshit of listening to people on panels you don't want to listen to.
Well, and for me, and I can't speak for, because I don't know everybody's home situation. I work 40 hours a week. Writing is not my full-time job. It is not my day job. So when I'm at home, you know, in home mode, and I'm writing either my lunch hour or I'm writing on my iPad on my train commute. I'm writing in little hour stints here and there to make a marginal word count of 750 words. And that's a good day for me.
So do you see, but when I come out, this as like what it's like to be a full-time writer?
Yes, and I think it's also one of those things that it's nice for somebody, for me at least, because I get to tell my work for a week to go F themselves. And don't get me wrong, I'm very happily employed. I love my people, but you know, but I get to cut all that crap out of my life and focus on 8 hours a day for 5 days or 6 days or whatever we end up turning into for actual writing. And I'm sorry, I know it was not a competition. I'm not trying to be competitive here, but in 6 days, I churned out 25,000 words. I've never done that before.
That's amazing.
Nice.
And that's a quarter of a novel right there. I'm like, yes! You know, and it's finally working, too. Because I can talk to Starla, and we can bounce a couple ideas, and you know, back to that fellowship idea. Yeah.
And I mean, I found the same thing. I wrote the exact same amount. I wrote 25,000 words, and it's like, you really see what you can do, or you could do. Now, I don't think that the amount of writing
we've been doing
could be sustained over a long period of time with no
breaks. Physically, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's emotionally exhausting.
It is exhausting, and we've had more, like, tense shoulders. And
Rosemary, you are a genius with those shoulder rubs and those massages.
Yeah, and but all of us right now, our extensors and our shoulders are sore. Yeah. Probably for some of us, our butts are sore, and we've all gained probably 5 to 10 pounds.
Yeah, so, we all have.
Well, and
it was brutal.
But it's that focused writing. It's not just the 8 hours of focused writing. It's also we are isolated. We are, to a degree, cut off from the world. We
don't have the distraction.
But we're with other writers, but we don't have the distraction of
anything.
What's that train outside doing? Or, who's calling my cell phone now? Because we have no reception up here. Or
we're just your significant other wandering in and telling you about their day, which is lovely.
Or your kids. Or hey, mom, what's for dinner when it's like 3 o'clock? I don't know.
Or your desire to watch that TV show that you've been wanting to watch for the past week.
Yeah, because you don't have the bandwidth to watch videos here.
Right. So, you know, pulling some of those other distractions out, the internet notwithstanding, was very helpful for me, too.
Yeah. One thing I actually really liked about the readings was hearing everybody else's stuff. Hearing what everybody else is writing. And
their voice sounds
the
like.
Different voices and, the different... and noticing that and being able to, like, compare... And it sounds funny, but compare your level of writing to other people's. And that... Because last year, that was a thing for me, was realizing that I could read with T. Morris and Pip Ballantyne and still get, like, the same amount of positive feedback that they were getting. And that was kind of
And
really
also
nice.
Hear how crappy their first draft was, exactly. too.
Exactly.
Like, we all write crappy first drafts.
I mean, so. I had more...
Except Hugh. He was a genius.
But, you know, as writers, we tend to be, in any creative, whether you're writing or you're in another type of art, we tend to be very critical of ourselves. Oh my God, this work sucks. I'm a hack. I'm not good. It's never going
to... I've had to say that to myself every day this week.
Exactly.
The whole, I need to stop that because I'm not writing the same thing these people are writing.
Yeah. And that's Starla Hutchton telling you that.
It's just like we have Stevens doing his, you know, interactive fiction,
which was
it's amazing. And you know, you have Brian doing the audio stuff. You know, you have Hugh writing and
we had
like, I don't know how to categorize that. So.
But we had like literature style writing
but being able to hear, and being able to hear, and we have some people it's fair to say, without getting into specifics, we have people who are just trying to write their very, just finish their very first novel here, or start something that they're going to finish, to people who have dozens, I'm going to say, of titles under their names. Mm-hmm. And it's a wide gamut of experiences, and being able to sit with those people and say, okay, Fu is having the same problems I'm having, or I hear the roughness in Fu's draft, or I hear the why did Scribe repeat those words five times? Yeah. Oh, wait, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
And knowing that we really are, and I'm going to borrow this cliche from Murr, we really are allowed to suck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Uh-huh. Can I add something about the reading thing, too? Because it was the thing I was most leery about, because I have purposefully my entire life avoided critique groups as a writer. Mm-hmm. And just so the audience knows, I am a full-time writer, and it's basically all I do. This is Fu again. So the thing that I found really intriguing about it is I just chose, because at first when I was here, because I'm prolific, so I would lay down like 8,000 words, and then like I can't read all of that, right?
Yeah.
So I chose to just sort of start reading from the beginning of the book when we were doing the critique sessions, and keep writing towards the end. So what I was reading and what I was writing got further and further away from each other, but I was still reading forward in the book, and that technique really helped me as a writer, actually, because what I found is that I was picking up threads I'd laid down in chapter one as I was writing chapter eight, and I'd be like, oh, I forgot I did that, and I can include it now, rather than catching that at a later edit pass. Yeah. And I'm one of those writers who, because I'm a perfectionist, I usually never allow myself to be rereading my book, because I just keep editing the first chapters over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was a really interesting... I really enjoyed that aspect of the read-through as well, because I found it affected my writing style the next day from what I had read the day before, which was really fun.
I think the thing that these do for me the most is the fact that since my normal day-to-day is not going to be 8 hours of trying to write, it just rarely is. Even when I have a good weekend that's open, I still have plenty of other things that I was competing with. So for me, I'm trying to write, just steadily get pieces done here and there. But when you're coming to something like this, you don't want to be spending your time figuring out what to write next. So you want to really have a plan for about the word count you're aiming for, have a good plan. And I think having a plan with writing really helps keep you from wasting time and having to throw stuff out.
Yeah, that could lead us into a like good discussion point next, is like, what are you guys going to do as a writer perspective to prepare next time?
I want to kind of dovetail that a little bit as well. is, and not only what are you going to do to prepare yourselves, but I know Fu said that one of the reasons she's at this retreat was because she heard this same round table last year.
Yeah.
What would you guys suggest as veterans to somebody who is listening, who may be preparing for their first retreat?
Try to arrive 15 pounds underweight.
So let's just go around. I'm going to start with Starla. And what are you going to do to prepare yourself better next year? And what would you suggest for somebody else?
For me, my big thing was that I wished I had synced all my Dropbox stuff before I got here.
Make sure you don't need internet.
That was 4 hours of time that I wasted when I could have been doing writing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really my big thing. I don't plan so much as I'm writing. Plan is a four-letter word to me because I get bored. I will hash things out before I go. Like if I'm working on, okay, the next chapter I need to do this and this, and I'll make like loose lists. But I don't plan like that. I did set goals for myself though. Like I had six works in progress when I got here, and I finished, my goal was to finish two of them, and I did that. So that was, I guess, not necessarily that I needed to have, you know, an outline of all the stuff that I'm going to write. Some writers work really well that way. I just had a goal of what I wanted to come away with from this retreat. So, yeah.
So I'm the opposite. I work from a very strict outline, and it's very detailed. And I would suggest, unless you're very comfortable with your own style already, that I'm with Brian on this one. I think one of the things I'm going to make sure I do next time, because next time I plan to try and write an entire novella in the space of the retreat, And I intend to have a really good outline. Otherwise, I know I would spend the first day of the retreat working on my outline, and then I wouldn't have anything to read. And so because I feel like I have to have something to read, because that's part of it, I'm going to have to set aside time before the retreat to prepare myself for that. So I would say that that's... I would both recommend that, and that's what I'm intending to do.
Brian?
Yeah, I mean... I think that by the time I come back next year, I think I'll be more of a veteran for script writing because I've been doing it over the last year or so, and there's still a lot of tips and tricks to figure out because I've been writing but not producing them yet. So once I'm actually producing them, I'm going to figure out, like, a lot of sound direction and stuff I was just skipping over. It's like scene one, you know, on the ship. It doesn't say anything about what that sounds like. It doesn't say anything about what kinds of effects that I want, and you want to have a sound script that has more detail like that. So I'm almost completely just writing dialogue, and I think in the future I'll probably be better about describing the soundscape for it, but it's not until I'm producing it and knowing what I want, because I don't care, I'm not trying to write a BBC script, I'm trying to write something I'm going to produce, so, right. So it's a waste of time if I already know what I want.
Scribe?
Well, I am with Fu on the outlining like a bad woman thing, so I outline very strictly as well. Don't always adhere very much to the outline within the scene, but pretty much I have all the building blocks ready to go so that I don't spend time just faffing around wondering where I'm gonna go next in my scene. Mm-hmm. And I can just kind of go and fill in all the details. So that's what I had this year, and I started and finished a novelette, a 25,000 word novelette, while I was here this year. So I accomplished my goal, and this is my second year doing Smoky Riders, and last year I got a lot of words down on a different novel, and so it seems to be working for me, so I think I'm going to continue that. But next year I'm probably going to just bring yoga pants and t-shirts.
That's the only one that spent an entire day in my pajamas.
Yeah,
last Sunday I spent the entire day in my pajamas. Yeah, nobody else did.
I intend to walk more next year. I'm hoping we're going to be not in the middle of winter.
There were some walks last year, and I was sad that there were not as many opportunities this year just because of the ice and stuff.
I'd rather walk horizontally than vertically.
So, yeah. Rosemary has joined us. She's been very quiet while we're chatting, but the question going around the table is, what are you going to do to prepare better for next year, and what would you recommend to somebody who's just starting to prepare for their first retreat, whether it's Smoky Riders or something else?
All right, well, we're going to take the second one first. If you're writing something or doing anything that's dependent upon electronics, make sure that it's not dependent on the internet.
We covered that.
Yeah, I'm just going to second that one because I spent a lot of frustrating time going, download, you rah, 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 rah. And it was very annoying. Also, make sure that you're really comfortable with the program you're working in before you come, because I discovered that my program would not let me figure out how many pages I had written, or how many words I had written, or even do a bloody spell check. And after a while, that became fine, because I wasn't always checking over, like, oh, I misspelled that thing. Mm-hmm. But for a while there, it was really sucking out my time, as I was going, did I spell that right? I don't know if I spelled that right. And getting frustrated with that.
And to be clear, when you say the program you're working with, you're talking about the computer software, not necessarily the retreat program.
Sorry, no. I mean, like, if you're whatever software you're using, like, mm-hmm. you know, if you're doing something in Scrivener or Word, or I was using an Office app for an iPad. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is you're using, make sure that it has the things in it that you think you'll want to use during the retreat. It's not 100% foolproof, but try to make sure you're comfortable with that. Another thing, let's see. Bring a bloody extension cord.
Oh yeah, yes. I thought of that as I was in the air flying here. I was like, I hope somebody remembers to bring extension cords.
Nope, no one did.
Trees.
Absolutely need to bring an extension cord, because otherwise you know, you're going to be anchored to a location that necessarily isn't the best for you. Of course, I spent my entire time writing in bed. Yay. Which was great and everything, but I wish I had felt like I had more of the option. I want to bring, next year, I'm going to have a big fuzzy robe. That's my intent. I'm going to have a big fuzzy robe that I can just wrap up in like a monk. I'm going to have a hood and everything. And I'm just going to be able to be out with all the other writers with my little iPad arm so mm-hmm. that I don't have to hunch over my screen and write bundled up like an Eskimo near the source of tea so I don't have to keep going up and down stairs to get tea.
I'll fight you for it.
And this is T-E-A, not T. Morris.
I selected my spot being as close as we'll fight over T. Morris, too,
but it does it in a different way.
Yes.
So what about you, Hugh?
I think that the important thing to remember is that you are traveling to go to an isolated place, which means have a backup strategy, and if necessary, have a backup strategy. The other thing is that I finished everything I had planned on working on early, and this morning I sort of got up and said, I have a whole other day, and I have no idea what to write. So I ended up diving into a project I wasn't ready to start on, but I probably could have had a better plan as far as that goes.
And then as far as I'm concerned, I mean, a lot of it's already been said, but I would say for the first-timers out there, don't worry about bringing more projects than you think you're going to handle. I mean, I brought 4 potential projects. I only really worked on 1, maybe 2 of them, depending on how you catalog it. And I'm okay with that. I brought the extra projects because I wanted to have options in case I wasn't feeling it one day. As it turned out, I didn't need them. If I had not brought those projects, I would have been bored stiff and said, oh, I wish I had something else to do. So don't hesitate to bring more than you think you're going to work on, but at the same time, don't try to get it all done. Make sure you've got
realistic goals.
Realistic goals.
Although I had completely unrealistic ones, but I'm used to disappointment.
No, yeah, but that's just you. But
I brought a bunch of projects to work on too, just in case.
Right, exactly.
I came here with no understanding of which of the projects I was going to work on. I was just like, all right, I have 10 story ideas, and none of them have plots. Let's go.
Yeah.
Tally-ho.
And then to kind of echo off some of the other things that have been said again is make sure your research is done before you get here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be prepared for mystery because
lots of TK.
Because number one, like Hugh said, you're going to an isolated place and you never know if your internet's going to work. 2, as Starla said, even if your internet does work, you don't know if you're going to get to any of your online cloud files. And for me, even if I have great internet connection and I can spend a half a day researching technology I need for my next sci-fi, that's a half a day I've burned that I'm not writing that I could have done at home in front of the TV watching whatever it is I'm watching. Mm-hmm. So when you come out here, from my perspective, make sure you are ready to put the proverbial pen to paper and put words down.
The literal pen to paper.
I think
no, because sometimes we type on computers.
Well, I put the literal pen to paper.
You're one of the few.
Yeah.
I think one of the things we're kind of all centering in on, like, thematically, is that, like, we do everything we have to do as authors, depending on whatever our style is, to make it so that once we are here, we can write as hard and as fast and as cleanly as possible.
And to be clear, we made no competition and we went out of our way to be uncompetitive in who wrote more in any given day or who wrote the most in any specific
retreat. We didn't discuss the quality or quantity of writing in any kind of competitive fashion.
It was just,
there's nobody to impress.
No.
It was just a matter of we are here to produce. Yeah. And we produced.
And we're here to support each other in that production.
Right. There was a lot of cheering when Starla made her goal.
And I shared my last celebratory reward cider because I brought 2, 1 for each project that I was going to finish. And today I shared with Lauren and with PC because they both met their goals as well. So
Yay.
That's another tip I should say, you know, bring something to reward yourself.
Yes.
Yes,
definitely.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried about word count because I already did more math than anybody.
I feel like
that was math or meth?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I heard meth.
I I'm doing a story based on relativity, so I had to make sure that certain times
were.
Oh, so, you were researching that in the car on the way here. Yeah. He's in the back. I'm just researching general relativity.
Well, it's like, okay. Starla and I were like, we're sorry, Brian. Are we cutting you out of the conversation? No, I'm researching general relativity. And I'm like, okay, let's go back to talking about YA romance.
And we get to do that for 6 hours tomorrow.
Yay!
It makes a big difference, though, if you're like, You're going to have this like big epic trip and then you realize it only would have taken 5 minutes.
Oh, carpools. Like, right. Carpools. Work out carpools.
Yeah.
Carpools are good.
Yes. Yeah, carpools are awesome.
And taxi transport. And
absolutely.
Stuff.
So we are pushing on to an hour of recording here. So I think I want to close this up so we can get back to
drinking.
Yeah, let's go.
Back
mostly just drinking.
Back to our drinking and back to the studios for tea and Pip. But
one more piece of advice.
And then I want to go around the room one more time, but go ahead.
One more piece of advice. Bring something to help you stay healthy, because if you're going on a retreat with a bunch of people from all over, you're going to be exposed to all kinds of interesting things.
Vitamin C is your friend.
And you absolutely do not want to get sick on a retreat. It is sad and miserable to be isolated from your new friends, and you really need to keep yourself isolated and quarantined if you get sick, because it's not nice to infect everyone else.
Also, be open to making and deepening friendships.
Yes. Yes, because absolutely. Really, you can make some really fabulous friends and friendships that I think could last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. This sort of thing.
So I want to sign off, so feel free to, I want to go around the room. I want you to, you know, sign off, pimp your wares, whatever. And then in a quick yes or no, was this retreat successful for you personally? I think we can all imply the answers here, but I want to hear them specifically. So,
hey, I'm Hugh J. O'Donnell. You can find all my writing at hughjodonnell.com. And on Twitter, I'm at Hatching Phoenix. This was totally successful.
I'm Rosemary Tizzledoon. I'm hoping to start a new podcast soon, but I'm not going to pimp it yet. But I am part of the Pendragon Variety Network. And hopefully you'll be seeing stuff from me shortly. And this retreat was fabulous.
Well, I am Lauren Scribe Harris. You can find my stuff at www.laurenbharris.com. That's a B, not a scribe. Let's see. Yes, this retreat was an epic success.
I'm Brian Lincoln. You can find all the stuff I've produced audio-wise over at lincolnaudio.com. And this was great. I wanted to get ahead on some scripts because I got to meet with some actors in the coming month. And if I didn't get productive here, I would have been really struggling to do that. So I'm actually twice as far as I needed to be, which is a really good head start. So it was awesome for me.
I'm Foo. You know, whatever. I came with a really ambitious goal. I was going to try and write 10,000 words a day, and I failed miserably. But the sort of super goal for that was for me to figure out exactly how much I could do under these particular sets of circumstances. And I'm really like excited because now, because I'm such a planner, I know exactly how to plan for next time. Yeah. So I feel so much better prepared.
She's sitting here making notes on all of
this. I am.
I'm
making notes.
I'm Starla Hutchton. You can find me at starlahutchton.com. Very simple. It's got all my links to books and social media and all that fun stuff. I would say I set a goal of finish 2 of my works in progress, and I finished 2 of my works in progress, so I'm happy with how it's gone.
How about you, PC?
I am PC Herring. You can find all my stuff over at pcherring.net. I kind of formed my goal about halfway through the retreat, and it kind of defined itself as I went, but I made it and I was very happy with it. It was extremely successful, so I plan to be here again next year.
Yay!
So with that, let's kick it back over to Imagine That Studios and T and Pip and the rest of the shared desk.
Proving once again that we don't do any editing. we left in that nice little pregnant pause at the beginning and just was like, oh yeah, I should probably play some segue music. I've got it right here.
Derp.
Derp.
So we hope you enjoyed the little shenanigans and fun frivolity of Smoky Writers. Alex.
How could you not?
Actually wrote a really good blog post about how to set up your own writing retreat. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes so that if you have the constitution for it, then you can set about making your own magic happen somewhere.
I'm sure if you're sitting down with friends trying to figure out what you want to do and how you want to do it, I'm sure it's a very easy process in how to host your own retreat.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
No, John, no.
I'll drive.
Okay.
But
that's how you do it.
That's how you do it. But if you do decide to do it, you know, get in touch with Alex White, thegearheart.com. Good people. Good guy.
So next year, Smoky Writers, you're going to be there.
That's the plan. Yeah. That is the grand plan.
They've moved it out of February because obviously February is a little tricky.
It's not even about whether or not the time of the year. It's more about what else have I got planned and how much time have I racked up at my job and other things. But I think next year it shouldn't be a problem. No, I take that back. It won't be a problem. It will not be a problem. Much like it won't be a problem that people are going to find you May 13th through the 16th at Romantic Times. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Dallas all by myself. Well, no, not, I'm not going to be by myself.
All by myself.
No,
don't want to be all by myself.
Is that what you're going to be doing when I'm not here? Just wandering
around?
That's
what he's going to be doing on May 21st to 25th. We'll get to that in a second. So May 13th to the 16th, you're going to be at
Romantic
Times.
In Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
I'm going to be taking part in a couple of panels. I'm going to be involved in one on self-publishing, one about building tension.
Aren't you doing a steampunk event with the ever-vescent P.J. Schneider?
I am indeed. I think that's on Thursday night. And then, of course, there's the math signing event.
For a second, I thought she said math signing event. I was
math
like,
signing that what, I would be what? Completely out.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite?
Yeah, that would be me.
Pretty much.
So if you're in Dallas and going to RT, then come by and say hi.
And the rendition of our cat Sebastian singing All By Myself, he's going to be singing that when May 21st to the 25th rolls around because we are going to be in Balticon.
Yes.
Balticon. Something or other. It's getting up there.
It's older than our podcast.
Yes, the 2015 edition of Balticon. Things are going to get started off. The only thing we have right now set in stone is I fire up the grill at 5 o'clock, and somewhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock Friday night, I throw my first slab of meat on that grill. Yeah,
and you keep cooking until they stop coming.
This is not in the books, but we hope that you attend. It is the it is the Balticon meet and greet, and meet spelled M-E-A-T. It's real simple. The rules are as such. You bring something that you want me to throw on the grill. And
this is
you...
at the...
I'm sorry, yeah.
At the Residence Inn.
That's the reason why it's not necessarily
because they have
an official...
big-ass grill.
Yeah. So the convention, Balticon, as many of you know, is at Hunt Valley Marriott. No, it's not the Hunt Valley Marriott. It's the Hunt Valley Inn. It's yes. It's an independent of the Marriott's now.
Marriott's kicked it to the curb.
Right. I still blame the carpet. But you and I are staying at the Residence Inn, which is just down the block.
I like a kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. We like a kitchen.
And we like a big-ass barbecue,
and,
apparently.
And we love a big-ass barbecue. And that's a beautiful thing about the Residence Inns is that they got these beautiful big courtyards with these beautiful big honker grills.
And no one ever seems to use
them. Right. Every time we've been there, no one's ever used them. Some people may use the fire pit there, but no one ever uses the grill. So we started this event, if you think about it,
This is the third one.
The third one we've done, the fourth one.
Oh, yeah, they did one when we were there.
They did the one when we were at the event formerly known as Steamtopia.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is 4 years running now.
That's cool.
And yeah,
4 years of meat.
4 years of meat. And once again, Jason Gregory Banks over at Talk Nerdy to Me. He's
marinating something.
He is marinating something. And I believe the words beef brisket were uttered. Yeah. But we're throwing all this stuff on the grill. But the rule is you bring something, and then you bring something for a friend or a total stranger, someone you've never met, and you just meet people. And it
that probably is why we end up with so much meat.
That's true. But what's really cool about it is you took this phenomenal panorama of everybody
gonna
there.
Gonna do that again. Yeah.
And it was just very cool. And that
the
that
tribal
panorama,
gathering.
Yeah, really. What it is. I mean, there are people that were in the original tribe. People are new to the tribe. People that maybe they don't even realize are part of the tribe. I'm talking to you, Mythwits, because they were there last year. I love those guys. Mythwits.com. And but I'm still pissed about the whole Tomorrowland thing.
Dear.
I'm not going to go into that. You
got
to check it out. Check it in the show notes. Pip will link
Watch
to that
Tease
show.
Rage.
I will rage. So that's all we have right now. Oh, and just so you know, it's one of two events that is going to be celebrating the life of P.G. Holyfield. And so make sure you, that Friday night between 6 and whenever you come out to the Residence Inn
and watch T cook meat.
Only a block away. Watch me cook meat. Watch Jason cook meat. Watch us cook meat together as manly men do. That's at Balticon May 21st to 25th. Then June 19th to 21st, where are we going to be?
June 19th? Here at CapitalCon.
Right. Nicely done, Valentine. Capital Con.
I thought we were only going to go a couple
brand
of events.
Brand new
yeah.
event. Brand new event. Right in our backyard. And we met some of the people.
Not literally in our backyard.
Not literally in our backyard. No, that's KiwiCon, whenever we decide we're going to throw KiwiCon again. But and actually, we could have a guest of honor at KiwiCon. We can get our neighbor, Dave.
Dave the Builder.
Dave the
Fongere.
Builder and Firefighter. Yeah, I'm the guest of honor at Capital Con, because at our second one, I think, wasn't Kathy our guest of honor?
Yes.
She was the guest of honor
We
at
just have
Con.
To keep importing New Zealanders.
Yeah, there we go. Why not?
Next year, we can invite the guy who works for Wolf Trap.
There you go. That guy. That guy.
Or the lady that runs the dance academy.
The lady that runs the dance academy.
We're everywhere, man.
I would say we could invite Joxer, who ran that wonderful reconnaissance,
yeah,
but he's Australian.
He is. Like, yeah. That would be an odd... KiwiCon. Never mind.
Anyway,
so we're looking forward to grilling all sorts of things.
And there's Capital Con, but backing up, you're still stuck on KiwiCon. We're talking about Capital Con.
You're talking about meat. I can't control
this
myself.
This is a new event for us. We don't know what's going to happen. We met the people. They were very nice.
They say 500 to 700 people.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to it. That's Capital Con, June 19th through the 21st. And that pretty much wraps up this shared desk. So I'm going to like having these little recaps and things like that when we don't have to do a lot of work.
I love it.
It's kind of cool. But
thanks, Paul.
Yeah. So just to wrap it up, and I know you all know this, and I know Pip knows this, and I know this, but I just feel compelled.
Maybe the cats don't know it.
To remind the cats that the Shared Desk is a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike. 3.0 United States license. That's I got to start with Creative Commons. That's the problem. I'm out of practice. But yeah, it's Creative Commons, share alike, 3.0, United States license. Find out more, creativecommons.org.
Doink.
I earned that. I earned that doink because I just doinked that up. So guess what? We've got more stuff coming.
Yes, it's a crazy, crazy,
crazy
time.
We got more Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences coming. We got more Shared Desk coming. We're blogging.
We're ether featuring. It's crazy, yo.
Crazy, yo.
Just hang on and see how long we can last.
There you go. And until next time, enjoy the ride.
We'll catch you later. Hit it.
Gotta get there first.
For God's sake.
I lost the mouse. Sorry, guys.